1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is where we'll start here in just a moment. Thank you again for being here. In Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, one of my favorite stories, we hear Scrooge's deceased partner, Jacob Marley, speaking as it was from beyond the grave about the hell that he was suffering, of all things, with a giant chain around him, one of those clinking chains that people carry. And he says this, he says about the chain, he says it clasped about his middle, it was long and it wound about him like a tail. Marley explains, I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Or would you know the weight and length of the strong chain you bear yourself, Ebenezer? It was as full, as heavy, and as long as mine 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have worked on it since, all by your choices, Ebenezer. As we grow older, we become very aware of the chain, the consequences, the habits, the destinations of a lifetime chosen one at a time, over days, weeks, years. Choices that constrict us or bind us, defining our lives. You can call them addictions, you can call them habits, you can call them ailments, or just the place where you find yourself today, good or bad. A few of those chains are easy to bear. Most, though, burden our health, our conscience, and our relationships. Some are quite heavy now and will be unbearable in eternity. We talk about those choices, past, present, and ongoing. Our conversations say a lot about us. Today, I want us to talk about choices from God's holy word. Today I choose. Every day you get up, those are those moments of decision. Today I choose in times of temptation. And I want you to know today that every moment, every decision that you have today is a moment about temptation, that you have to know that there's a way out. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 there in your Bible promises us, no temptation has overtaken you that it is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Right or wrong, good or bad, the choice is always mine to make. And there's always a way of escape. The devil doesn't jump on you and make you do it. You choose. Today I choose. And always in that moment today, those choices that I have before me, there are choices for opportunities to care about those that I know of, that they are in need. From ancient times, the wise have heeded this proverb in Proverbs 3 and verse 27 that says, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. The New Testament church was taught, as we are, that we share God's love when we choose to help. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, it says, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. Every choice that I'm presented with, every opportunity that I look at in my day, forges a character and begins that chain that will later constrict me or that I carry. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, sow a thought and you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit and you reap a character. You sow a character and you reap a destiny. You are walking down a path with every choice. And there are only 2 destinations. You're thinking right now of Matthew 7, where Jesus says there's a narrow gate and a broad way. I want to take you to Philippians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. Down the road, Paul says, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. That's one way you could head. He goes on to say, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Choose to sow so that your character binds you on the road to heaven. Now, if you're following along, you understand that that's the choice I have for today. But yesterday you made choices. You did. You may, if you're thinking right now, I made choices. Yesterday I chose, yes, and I have to accept responsibility for my actions. Mea culpa. I am responsible. I am responsible for specific words and actions that made God smile. You can take credit for that. There are some things I did yesterday I chose to do that made God smile. That's okay. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 26 tells us, for to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to the one who pleases God. Yesterday, I chose specific words and actions that disappointed God. And as much as you can claim the one, you have to claim the other. Hebrews 3, verses 16 through 18 gives us an example. He says, for who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that he would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? It was his people, God's people, who caused God grief by their choices. There are times when we have to own that I made God grieve by the things I chose to do. It humbles me. It humbles me. Every day is a mixed bag. Sins of omission and commission, it's a mixed bag. Things that I look back with regret, things that I rejoice. But it humbles me such that I seek God's mercy. Lord, could I have the opportunity just to choose again? Isn't that always the blessing that a child of God has? Join me in Psalm 51, verses 12 through 17. It says, restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. O Lord, I know what yesterday was like, and I humbly ask, may I choose again? And so, I am choosing. I choose, I have chosen, I am choosing. Determining my destiny, forging my chain. Now I know that I'm responsible for my past and my present, but it sets the direction of my future. I set my face then in the direction of God's will. It is written of our Savior in Luke 9, verse 51, when the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. The word for set there literally means solidly plant, which means no vacillation. I saw an image last night of the monument there in the Dakotas of the president's faces as they're set in rock and they're looking a certain direction and they don't change. And that's kind of how Jesus was. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 it says, for to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. We set our hope on being with God. That's where you want to do that. You don't want to move off of that. We want to make it our aim or goal at life's end to bring glory to God. How do you want to be remembered? When people say a word about you, at the end of your days and you're no longer here, what are they going to say? Are they going to say, well, he walked this path and he's not here anymore? Or he brought glory to God. And you know what? I think he's resting in God's, you know, in God's hands right now. What are they going to say about you? What is your aim? Not what's your wish. People say, well, I hope, da, da, da. And they say it as if, you know, I wish, because I know it's different than what most people think. You make the choice. You choose. You're determining. You're writing it in people's hearts right now. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9 says, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Joshua 24 and verse 15, which some of you have probably emblazoned upon your walls or in your wallet or whatever. It says, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You choose. Choose, and it sets your direction. Choose, it determines your destiny. I am choosing to set out deliberately to make faith a reality. When this life is over, what I have held on to, what I sing about, who I pray to, what I remember is that my Lord gave his life so that I could stand before his throne and embrace my faith being a reality. Isn't that the point? That's what I want. There's this words of an anonymous hymn. It says it this way. Some say life is just a series of decisions. We make choices, we live and learn. Now I'm standing at a crossroad and I must choose which way to turn. Down the one road is all the world can offer, all its power, its wealth and fame. Down the other, just a man with nail scars in his hands. But there is mercy in his eyes and there is power in his name. I choose Jesus. I choose Jesus. Without a solitary doubt, I choose Jesus. Not for miracles, but for loving me. Not for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Not for a day, but for eternity. I choose Jesus. Wish I knew the tune. It'd be a great song, wouldn't it? I choose Jesus. I choose, I have chosen, I am choosing, I have chosen admitting my need for redemption. I admit, I need God's help. I have chosen and admit my need for redemption to define my past by the chains I now wear. I am a sinner. I've already told you I'm a hypocrite. I've already told you I'm a sinner. All right. Now, can't say, well, I don't want to go down there with all those hypocrites. Yeah, we know. We're here. We're waiting for you. The whole idea, though, is that that's not the point, isn't it? If it were just about admitting we were hypocrites, we'd just be Hypocrites Anonymous. And we would stand up and say, hi, I'm Scott. I'm a hypocrite. You would say, hi, Scott. You know, and I would say, this week I didn't do what I was supposed to, blah, blah, blah. That's not the point. The point is that I have godly repentance about the pain that I've caused my Lord that caused him to go and die for my sin. Isaiah 42 and verse 22 says, but this people is a people plundered and looted. They are all of them trapped in holes and hidden in prisons. They have become plunder with none to rescue, spoil with none to say restore. The chains of my choices have imprisoned me, and I cannot save myself. And so having admitted that, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10 brings the beginnings of hope where we read, for godly grief produces repentance. And maybe that's where I need to stop for a moment and just remind you is that salvation starts with a godly grief. Producing a repentance that leads to salvation without a regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. I admit my need for redemption to claim the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to set me free. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know? that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that we, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we could no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. I want that. Chris Tomlin sings, "My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace." Can you hear it in your head? Yeah. I am choosing to direct my decisions as a follower of the Savior. I want to take up that cross. That's what he says, that daily cross that you take up. I want to follow him. I want to go down that path. That's the one I want. I choose that way. Psalm 143 verses 10 and 11 says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground for your name's sake, O Lord. Preserve my life in your righteousness. Bring my soul out of trouble." At the end of his life, Moses spoke these words. In Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20. And his words are my invitation to you this morning. "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice and holding fast to him, for he is your life. He is your length of day." Today you choose. If you need to answer God's invitation by putting your Lord on in baptism, to be free from sin, to break the chains, to accept that amazing grace. If you are here and you've done so and you have wandered from the faith, come home and let God set you free all over again. Whatever you need to do, if you need to respond, you come to the front and make your need known as together we stand and as we sing.